Well, this morning we're going to be talking about the greatness of God. And, you know, I have to admit, it's kind of an undaunting task that even a human, let alone me, could begin to talk about the greatness of God. And yet it's what Athel challenged me with when we were having our staff meeting. He said, you know, I'm going to be gone. He says, why don't you preach? And he said, you can continue on Ephesians because that's what I'm doing. Or he said, you know what, maybe you should do something on the greatness of God. And I went, yeah, that sounds perfect. That's something that's on my heart. So I'm going to attempt to do the best at touching the greatness of God, even with our weak and feeble vessels of clay that we are. So with that, can I pray for us that we'd really hear from the Lord and from His Word this morning? So God, I want to just thank You for Your goodness, Lord. And that You are great, Lord. You truly are great. So, Lord, we praise You this morning and we give You the thanks, Lord. You are so wonderful. God, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your help, Lord. That You are with us and You are for us. You're not against us, Lord. You are a great and awesome God. So, Lord, we love You, we thank You, we praise Your wonderful name this morning. So, Lord, I want to ask that You would really speak to our hearts, God, today. That You would use this message, You would use this time, Lord, to speak, God, because we want to listen. So, Lord, open up our ears and open up our hearts, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord. Amen. So we're talking about the greatness of God from the scriptures today. And we're going to look in a few moments about from Psalm 145. But you know, one of the hardest things, honestly, in preparing for this is what do you include and what do you not include? And as I started doing this, it's amazing study. I want to really encourage you to look up sometime all the verses that have to do with the greatness of God. It was actually really hard to limit the numbers. And you know, I thought about it as I was studying. I thought, you know, if the Bible is, I'm being a little cynical here, but I thought, you know, if the Bible is inspired by God and written by God, and it's about His greatness, isn't that sort of an egotistical book? You ever thought about that? And yet what I found out through my study, and I hope to present to you today as we end, that it isn't just about His greatness, He's actually His purpose is to show His greatness to us. To us. So that we would believe. That's amazing. See, He didn't just write an egotistical book. He really wanted to show to us His goodness and grace. It's not working, David. Can you redo it? Or you might have to do the clicker for me. You know, leave it up to a children's book to actually describe the greatness of God. So here's this book, you can see it up there on the screen, is a blue whale, the biggest thing there is. And when I found this, I thought, you know, this is so fun, I gotta read some excerpts from this book. So take a children's book to try to describe the greatness of God. So leave it to a children's book to help us see our big universe. And so in this book entitled, The Blue Whale is the Biggest Thing There Is, Robert Wells takes us from size that we can grasp to sizes that we cannot. He goes on to write, the largest animal on earth is the blue whale. Just the flippers on its tail are bigger than most animals on earth. But a blue whale isn't anything near as big as a mountain. If you were to put 100 blue whales in a huge jar, you could put millions of blue whale jars inside of Mount Everest. But Mount Everest isn't as near as big as the Earth. If you stacked one Mount Everest on top of another, it would only be a whisker on top of the face of the Earth. And the Earth isn't anywhere near as big as the Sun. You could fit 1 million Earths inside the Sun. He goes on to write, but the Sun is only a medium star, isn't anywhere near as big as the red supergiant called Antares. 50 million of our suns could fit inside of Antares. But Antares isn't anywhere near as big as the Milky Way. Billions of stars, including supergiants like Antares, as well as countless comets, asteroids, make up the Milky Way galaxy. But the Milky Way galaxy isn't anywhere near as big as the universe. There are billions and billions of other galaxies in the universe. And yet, filled with billions and billions of galaxies, the universe is almost totally empty. The distance from one galaxy to another is beyond what we can even imagine. And then he ends with this. And the creator of this universe is God, with a word spoke it all into being, who is present everywhere in this universe and beyond, who upholds it all by his mighty power. Great is our God, and greatly to be praised. Amen? Imagine that. See, we have a hard time, you know, conceptualizing some of the stuff. The greatness of our universe. I don't know if you've ever been to IMAX theater or seen some of these Nova shows or something like that, and you can just walk out in the awe of what God is doing and what God is. It's amazing to see the greatness of our God. Psalm 108 is one of those verses that just speaks of it so well. And again, I had a hard time picking out some of these. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Isn't that what we just read from Robert Weld's book? Your truth, God, reaches to the skies. I hope this morning that your hearts just can be open and expand your hearts. I want to encourage you to let the greatness of God impact you this morning, because he wants to be great in your life. He wants to show you his powerfulness, his loving kindness. Another one of those great scriptures is from Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Haven't you known? Haven't you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. That underlining is mine, by the way. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Yet youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Coming back to the beginning of that verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard or seen? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He wants to show us his spectacularness. He wants to show us his greatness, not to brag on himself, but that so we would understand the greatness of God in our lives. We're going to look at more of that. I want to show you something. I ran across this a couple years ago. It's actually a film. It's a science film put on, made by for IBM back in 1977. And I'm going to show you it. I'm going to warn you, though. It's got some corny music to it, okay? It's definitely 1977. But when you watch this, what we're going to do is he's going to zoom out from this hand of this picnicking guy here. And the video will explain it. But every second he goes 10 meters out and multiplies that by 10. So this film's called The Powers of 10, and you don't need to be a math whiz to get the idea by watching this video. And then it's going to zoom into the hand of this man, and I want you to just watch this old-fashioned video that's just a science video, probably saying, what in the world does this have to do with a sermon or church? Everything. Because I want you to see the greatness of God through his creation. Take a look. Wow, right? I don't know if that was wowed you, but when you see the complexities, the beauty, I know it was corny music and old-fashioned, but boy, when you see the beauty of what God has made, and that's his desire to show us through his work, through his handiwork. When we read a verse like Psalm 8, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him. When you watch a video like that and then you read a verse like that, it gives another sense of meaning. God, you who made all that universe and all of its complexities. Remember, this is 1977. They can go even further now. You who made all of this, and yet you are mindful of me. You see, what I'm going to propose to you as we look at Psalm 145 is his greatness is really to tell us how great he wants to be in our lives. It's not a book by a braggart. It's a book to show us that he is with us. He is for us. You know, we're about to enter into a season of Thanksgiving and then Christmas, the Emmanuel time, when God comes in the flesh and is with us. We have a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot of things that we can be grateful for. And yet he wants to show us that. As Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." See, we can't even begin to do the justice of the greatness of God. And yet he wants to show us the taste through creation. He wants to show us the taste through his goodness, through showing up in our time of need, in our time of trouble, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it. I'll give you some examples in a moment from my own life. But he wants to show us his goodness and his greatness because he wants to show us it's beyond measure. I have all you need. I've got everything that you're desiring. And yet I think the problem is not God's greatness. It's the problem is our vision is too small. I'm going to say that again because I think it was good. The problem isn't God's greatness. The problem is our vision's too small. You see, we get stuck in small details. We get stuck in our trials and tribulations. We get stuck in this. And what the Lord wants to say is it's beyond measure. I have more than you know. I am greater than you possibly can fathom. I am everything. I have everything you need. It's beyond measure. In his book called Beyond Measure, The Heaven's Intimate Moments with the Majestic God, Kevin Hartman writes this: "Indeed, through his own gracious revelation of himself, we can understand God in part, but we can never fully comprehend him or even a single one of his qualities." So true. There will always be more of his wisdom to understand, more of his power, more of his holiness, more of his love. We will never fathom him. We will never tire of him. Through all eternity, we will look upon him and marvel at the endlessly creative, wonderfully gracious, uniquely righteous, timelessly beautiful, unsearchably glorious, infinite loving, maker and ruler of all. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Psalm 145. As I said, I had a hard time picking a verse. I really did, because there's so much that could be said. And when I read this one, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord dropping on my heart. This is the one. This is the one. So I put it up there on the screen, especially for some of our visitors that may not have brought their Bibles. But if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there. This is from the English Standard Version, but it's pretty similar in other versions. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day," notice that, every day. There's Thanksgiving, right? "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Wow, there it is, that phrase again. "One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts." I'll just pause there. You know, I love that our church is multi-generational. You know, I know, I'm going to be honest, I know we have a struggle. I've even heard the term old church and new church here, where we have the older congregation that's been here a while that wants it so-and-so, and a newer group that wants it so-and-so, and we can feel like two different kind of churches. But I'm going to be a little bold. Not only are we one church, but according to this verse, we need to be one church because we need to hear from the generations. The generations need to be passing down the goodness and the greatness of God. We need to hear your stories. I need to spend more time. I need to spend more time with this guy Wilbur over here. I think you're the oldest one in our congregation right now. I need to sit down with this guy because he's got amazing stories of the goodness of God. I'm younger than some of you and I'm older than some of you. I'm probably right in the middle here somewhere, right? But the goodness of God we need to hear, the greatness of God we need to hear. It commands us here to tell from one generation to another. One generation shall commend your works to another. What does that mean? We need to hear God's stories. We had a men's campfire at these guys' place. And it was awesome. And one of the things Athel challenged us as men is sit around, enjoy yourselves, have a nice time, obviously. But tell about the wonders of God. What's God doing in your life? You know, it's really easy for us to talk about the weather. It's really easy for us to talk about sports or whatever. But do we ever talk about the good things God's doing in our life? Oh, it's much easier to complain. They moved the tables again in Sunday school room, and I told them, right? It's so easy. I do it. Okay? You know what I've said before. You can't point a finger at somebody because three of them are pointing back at you. I do it. It's so easy to go there and complain. How often do we tell God stories instead? Lord, look at what you've done and your marvelous deeds. Like Kevin, I'll just read the last part of his paragraph here. You're endlessly creative, wondrously gracious, uniquely righteous, timelessly beautiful, unsearchably glorious. Wow. We need you, elders in this church. We need you, older members of our church, not just older in age, but older in attendance. We need to hear the God stories of Grace Point. We need to hear your hearts, and we want to honor your hearts. Pass it down to the next generation. Picking up on verse 5, and all the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Boy, there's something for your quiet time when you don't know what else to do. Not getting anything from reading your Bible, put it down and meditate on the wonders of his work. Pull up an old science video. Marvel at his wonderful works. Verse 6. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. I think God loves when we declare his greatness back to him. Declaring his deeds, the marvelous things he's done. I'm going to just pause there for a moment. When I was in Sweden, as many of you know, I was a missionary there for almost 12 years with Youth with a Mission. And I was involved in a lot of different outreaches. I literally have traveled lots and lots of different countries. I've actually been to every single country in East and West Europe except for Ireland and Monaco. They're still on my bucket list. So that sounds like I'm bragging, but that's just what happens when you're with YWAM. And one of the things we used to do is we would go down, this is in the late 80s, we would go down to Portugal from Sweden. We'd drive all the way down middle of Europe there, and we'd go to Portugal, one, because it was warmer, a lot nicer in January than Sweden was. And because in Portugal, you literally could do a drama out on the square. There's a big square there in Lisbon, the capital, called Plaza del Figueira. And we would get out there, and we'd put up our speaker system, and we did some dramas, and we'd do some dramas, and, you know, it's kind of the thing you did back in the 80s. And we would preach, and as soon as we preach, people would just, I mean, they would gather. It was amazing. I don't know if they still do that. But back then, you couldn't get Northern Europeans to do it. You know, they were too cold in the winter, and they just would scurry off, you know, to the home or store or wherever they were going. But the Southern Europeans, they would gather. And so we would preach, and they would literally gather hundreds. And we could give an altar call and share Jesus, and people would respond. And they would respond so much. I kid you not, we would do our altar call like this. We'd say, if you're serious, we want you to stay here, to still stay. Okay, if you're really, really, really serious, we kept going through these lists. If you're really, really serious, get on your knees, and let's ask Jesus to come into your life. They get on their knees. Here they are in the middle of the square. They're all dropping to their knees. And I have to be honest with you, sometimes as a young believer, we look around and go, is this for real? Is this really happening? And it was. The really cool thing is they got down on their knees and like, Jesus, and they would pray the prayer out loud, and we'd give them tracts and give them Bibles. It was awesome. But one of the things I'll never forget is I was sitting down, this was after our performance and the things I just shared with you, I was sitting down with one of the guys that had come forward, wanted to know more about Jesus. A friend of mine, we're in a cafe. Because we're in the main square, there's outdoor cafes. You know, it's January, and down there, it's in the, you know, mid-70s. It's really quite nice weather. So we're sitting outside. Some of you have heard me tell the story, but we're sitting outside, and I'm trying to share with this guy about Jesus, and so is my friend. And then here comes this drunk man. I mean, he's so drunk, I can't understand a word he's saying. He's got a cigarette or cigar in his hand, and he comes wandering around. I mean, he makes all this kind of noise. It's not even Portuguese. Nobody understands him. And he sits down at our cafe. He sits right there at the table. We're on the outside. He sits right down there, and I'm trying to share Jesus. And he keeps going, making all this noise. So I thought, I remember something. I remember that we've got authority in the name of Jesus. So I looked at him and I said this out loud, figuring I didn't know if he understood English, but it's all right, his spirit does. And I said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, be silent. And you know what happened? Nope. Nope, Judy. Absolutely nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And so inside, I'm trying to keep my composure, you know, be the good Christian that I am. And inside, I'm going, God! There's that scream, Kathy. God, where are you? Why didn't this work? I thought this was supposed to work. And the Lord dropped something in my heart right then and there. See, that's his faithfulness. That's his greatness. That's his power towards us who believe. He dropped in my heart at that moment. He said, Eric, call it by name. And I remembered the story of Mark 5, where Jesus crosses after the big storm that I preached about last December and Athel preached about in the spring from Mark chapter 4, and the big sea and the waves that they all went through. And Jesus calms the storm. And they finally get over to the other side in Mark 5. And Jesus does all of this for one man. He's the demoniac, the man of the tombs. He goes through this horrendous storm with his disciples, who are very doubtful. You probably remember the story. He goes there for one man. One man. As a matter of fact, we learn after that man comes to Christ, he crosses the sea again. He'll go there just for the one. What does that say about his greatness? He'll go there just for you. He'll do it just for you. So he crosses the sea and he talks to this demoniac and he says, what's your name? And the man answers, we are legion, for we are many. You probably know the story. And he casts out the name. And the Lord dropped that in my heart sitting there at the cafe, call him by name. My first thought, well, what's his name? And the Lord already spoke his name to me. His name's Confusion. Because that's exactly what he was doing. He was confusing our talk. So this time, I looked at him and I said, in the name of Jesus, confusion be silent. And you know what happened? Come on, Judy. What did you say this time? He went, and he was that silent. He just dropped like that. And I went, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your greatness, your goodness. They're interchangeable, you know. He can't help but be great because he can't help but be good. He can't help but be loving. It's one of the lyrics of a song I love by Michael Card. He loves us with passion, without regret. He cannot love more, and he will not love less. You see, it's all wrapped up in who he is. It's who he is in his greatness and what he wants to show. Verse 7, they pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. There it is, see? His goodness and grace, his mercy, all they all go together. And shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. That's where our God stories. We've all got them. When we're sitting down at a meal, when we're hanging out here at the church, when we got a Wednesday night gathering for food or prayer time, let's tell of the glories and of his power and of his greatness. Because it's so easy to go after the negative, but he wants us to look at his greatness. To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. We're almost done, the psalm. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. I'll just pause for a moment. Because I know that's probably many of us here today that are facing a struggle, facing temptation that's hard to beat, facing times of tribulation. Yes, we believe in God's goodness. Yes, we believe in his greatness. We've got it up here theologically really good. But it's down here. It's that longest distance in the world, right? It's down here that we're still not totally convinced because we don't see it. We don't see it. But I want you to know if that's you today, it says the Lord is upholding you, all those who are fallen and all those who bow down. See, when we fall, when we trip in that stumble, spiritually speaking, physically speaking, whatever, it's so easy to feel the skin, knee, the hurt, the pain of our heart, the problem of the situation we're angry with, the ways God isn't showing his goodness, isn't showing up, isn't demonstrating who he is, and we focus on the pain, ow, instead of on his goodness. See, he's there for the fallen. He raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living creature. The Lord is so good. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all those who call on him. To all who call on him in truth, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who will love him, but the wicked he will destroy. See, there's a day of judgment, isn't there? The people that have hurt us, the people that have harmed us, the people that have been our abusers in our life, they have an opportunity to repent. They have an opportunity to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And the Lord is so gracious and compassionate. But you know, sometimes it's hard for us to let go of that unforgiveness, let go of that hurt, let go of that pain, because this is all we feel, so to speak. And yet I want you to know the Lord sees it and he knows. The Lord preserves you. All of you here today who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. There will be a day. Last verse. My mouth will speak to the praise of the Lord, and let all the flesh bless his holy name. The greatness of God in Psalm 145. It's so rich. I just have to throw a few more verses in there before we close. Jeremiah 10:6. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your great is your name in might. Wow. Psalm 96:4. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not abandon his people. Why? He won't abandon you because of his great name. Because the Lord has pleased to make a people for himself. Psalm 136:4. To him alone does wonder, great wonders. Notice it says great. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Isaiah 55:9. For as high as the heavens are on the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Unsearchable, unfathomable, great is our God. New Testament, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him is able to do far more, abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. You see, his greatness has a purpose. It's to work his power in us. In you. In those places where you don't know the answers. In those difficult seasons where things don't make sense. In those times where the promises just aren't coming true. And I'm doing everything in my power, God. And we want to cry out, where the hockey sticks are you sometimes? You can read between the line, right? Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the immeasurable, can't even put a measure to that one, greatness of his power towards us to believe, according to the working of his great might. Why is God's greatness there? Why is his goodness there? Why is his love there? Why? Because it's for you. It's for you. It isn't so he becomes a vending machine God. Come on, Lord, give me what I want. Come on, lucky seven. Right? It's so that we would know he's great even if it doesn't show. He is great because he cannot change. He cannot lie. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says, he doesn't change. It's our heart that can't keep up. Did you hear that? He doesn't change, it's our hearts that can't keep up. And because he wants to show his greatness and he wants to go to the matter of the heart, because it's the heart of the matter. That's his greatness, so that he might be exalted in you and me. He might show up great in you and me. He might be known in you and me. Quote here from John Piper I like. If you don't see the greatness of God, then the things that money can buy become very exciting. If you can't see the sun, then you'll be impressed with a street lamp. If you've never felt thunder and lightning, then you'll be impressed with fireworks. And if you turn your back on the greatness and majesty of God, you'll fall in love with a world of shadows and short-lived pleasures. Wow. See, his greatness is to show us that he's all-sufficient, that he's got us, that he holds us in his hand, that nothing's too impossible for him. And yet it's so hard to see. It's so hard for me to see sometimes. I'm preaching to myself. But what I realized by doing this study is the Lord's doing all of his greatness, showing us all of his deeds and all of his power and all of his kindness and all of his goodness so that we would feel and experience his love and his greatness to us, because he's a great and powerful God. Amen. I want to play a song for you. The lyrics are going to be up on the screen. It's called "I Am Found, I Am Free" by Gateway Worship. I want you to listen to it. If you can hear the lyrics, just close your eyes. I invite you to close your eyes and just listen to the Lord. If you have a hard time hearing the lyrics, just look up on the screen for the text. But I want you to listen to the song as we consider, as we meditate on the greatness of God. Love to hear for the whole song, but you can look it up. It's a great song. You heard most of it anyway. In the light of your mercy, in the power of your glory, in your presence, I am found. I am free. I am found. I am free. See, the greatness of God, the glory of God, was to show us, is to show us, when we look at him, when we survey his creation, like this picture, when we look at all that he has done in our lives, we say, Lord, you are good. You are good in all your ways. And we worship and praise you. I want to just end with one last quote by Madame Guyon, a French mysticist, great prayer warrior from the end of the 1600s to early 1700s. She says this: do not turn to prayer hoping to enjoy spiritual delights. Rather come to prayer totally content to receive nothing or to receive great blessing from God's hand, whichever should be your Heavenly Father's will for you at this time. Amazing, isn't it? See, I think we get disappointed because we show up to God, in front of God, hoping to show up in front of God, maybe is a better way to say it, in our times of distress, in our times of pain, and we expect something, and when we don't get it, when it's echoes, when it's empty, when there's nothing there, of course we struggle. We wonder. It's human to wonder. The man who came to Jesus said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Let me encourage you, as you go to the Lord in your quiet time, in your prayer, even now as we have a ministry time, as the worship team comes, to allow the Lord to speak to your heart in those places of doubt, where things aren't going right, where things aren't coming together, and let him show you his goodness, even if it's empty at the moment, because his goodness is always there, even when we don't feel it. His greatness towards us who believe, is to demonstrate his power, that he is with us, he is for us, and he doesn't let us go. Let's pray. So Lord, I thank you that you are so good and you are so great. Lord, we can't even fathom, we can't even understand how great you are. But Lord, even in my weak and feeble attempt, I pray that you would use something of what I said, or of course your word, to speak to our hearts. In these places of doubt, in these places where we wonder, are you still with us? Do you even see? Do you even care? And Lord, do you administer to those places of our hurt and our woundings, that we could see your power, and we could see your might, and we could see your glory. So Lord, I thank you for your goodness towards us who believe. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let me just invite you to come up. Come forward today. This is you. You're struggling. You need prayer. We got a ministry team on both sides. You just need a special touch. You just need to go, I just can't let go of whatever it is, your XYZ. I just need someone to pray for. Or come up here. Pray on your own at the altar. Let this be a time Let's just be a time to just say, Lord, I need your touch. I need you to touch my heart today as we close this song.